Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, citizen lobbyist, and you're calling in lieu of going out and enjoying the wind this morning.
Yeah, I didn't feel like, I think Halloween's not for a few days, and I think I would be Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz here going down the streets of Palmer. It's pretty darn windy out there, Mike.
That is that's true. When I came across this morning, although I noted that it was about 50 degrees and warm, it was very windy, blustery. Moved one limb that had come down into the middle of a street off to the side, and I understand there were reports of windiness in Anchorage as well. So we get the warmth and the wind and all the rest. But this week is also been a very interesting week. A couple of meetings and more happening down in Juneau, I am told. At least a lot of discussion. Where shall we start?
Well, let's start. You went to the City of Palmer meeting, Mike, while I was at the joint Matsu Borough Planning Commission and Assembly meeting. So let's start with the City of Palmer, because you were in on that one. So there was a special meeting that we covered and also the regular meeting.
That is true.
What was special about the special meeting?
What was special about it is this is the time of year when the City of Palmer is getting closer to closing in on agreeing to a final budget. And so what tends to happen is that there are meetings prior to the regular meeting that allow a discussion in the form of a committee of the whole, meaning that the council relaxes its normal rules of procedure and has a somewhat free-flowing discussion where the manager reviews portions of the budget as they're heading in the direction of final approval. And so that's basically what happened. The meeting lasted for not quite an hour, a little bit of a break in there, and they moved into the regular meeting. And so it's a time when council members can ask questions. The most significant focus was on the proposed expenditure of a substantial sum of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, that involved equipment and upgrades to what remains of Palmer's Dispatch Center. As many listeners and you remember, there's been a process of the Palmer Dispatch Center letting go of some of its responsibilities, which have transferred over to another dispatch center in Wasilla, while retaining the dispatch for the police department and the Palmer Fire Department. So that means that the relationship with the borough, which had been supporting some of the equipment changes, and it means that it is time to have the city look at upgrading equipment, which is fairly expensive. It allows for someone who calls into that dispatch center to speak to someone and to be able to point out where they are and for dispatch to know where they are and to contact people and all the rest. So that discussion went on, bottom line of it, it appeared that the requests will probably be included in the final budget. And just to remind listeners also that the goal here is in an early meeting in December for the council to have looked at all of these pieces of the budget and to make a decision and approve that final budget. So they'll be in accordance with their own rules to be done for a budget that will begin on the 1st of January.
Right. And so I've sat through many, 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 and so have you, Mike, budget discussions at the Assembly, but I've not sat through a lot of the budget discussions at the City of Palmer, although I know you have. And do they share by department their budgets like the Assembly does? And well, is that what all the special meetings are up to the final?
Yes and no. In the past, there have been, in my memory, more of, and I haven't attended every one of the more recent budget meetings of the city, although a number of them I have been there. And I would say that there seems to be more of a move toward having the manager present this with available others. So if you're be talking about a department, you might have available in the audience someone who could step forward and talk a little bit about it. But and I think it's true, and check me on this, even at the assembly, or for that matter, the school district, as you go year to year, there are refinements of the process. And particularly here at the council level, I think the refinement has gone to have those discussions happen with the manager and not so much in front of the council itself. But the council absolutely here is able to focus down and ask questions about any aspect of the budget that's being presented. And council members tend to do that.
Well, not only does it change year to year, Mike, it changes manager to manager
with
the city of Palmer, because they've been through a few, and even since I've lived in Palmer proper. So, it is always an interesting, and even at the borough, I will say, they change it up every year how they do it, too, from extensive reports that take days in the past to having the manager have a more abbreviated report, so, and getting a lot of things in writing to the council to the assembly, which of course also depends on whether they read everything that's sent their way and actually have some thoughtful questions prepared to do it. That sounds like that was a pretty easy meeting to go through, and then they launched onto their regular meeting, Mike, and there looks like a few things on there too. What the first one that kind of caught my eye was a grant to for the noise permit extension. Did that get any talk at all? And the refuse containers, both of those resolutions.
It was kind of an interesting process. I would say that the vast majority of items on that agenda flew by without much discussion. It was one of those evenings, and that regular meeting did not last a long, long time. I mean, it was done and within an hour and a half, I think, about that.
Wow.
So they had been there, and they had focused on the budget, and they had done their work and were moving on. So I would say this meeting was an example of people having pretty much a handle on which each one of those things were, and there was very little objection, and generally it just flew on by.
Even the resolution for the or was that the part that was the part they got hung up on was the 4-year agreement with the radio, the computer aided dispatch. That was the part you talked about earlier that took a little bit.
Well,
$725,000.
Right, but they had already. Yeah. I would say that this this had been a discussion point at in the earlier meeting. So they really had gone over it. When you have a special meeting prior to the regular meeting where you have a chance to get answers to questions, and then the business meeting, if you will, tends to flow along pretty well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe they should be special before they are regular every.
There's some real argument for that mm-hmm. it allows for more two things. It allows a focus where you can ask questions, and it do it in a relaxed way. I mean, you still keep the record and minutes and all the rest of it. But it's not it allows you that time so that when you then come to wanting to take an action or base perhaps a change, if you have an amendment, on the information you have, you have had a little time between, and then you can make that happen properly. So, yeah.
Okay.
Good idea.
Well, before we leave the city of Palmer, let's just say that their next meeting is November 7th. They'll have a special meeting on the budget. It's a special meeting at 6 p.m. Then they've canceled, looks like, November 14th meeting, which would have been their regular meeting.
Yes, they did that. Yes.
And then the 21st, they'll have another special meeting at 6 p.m. about the budget. And the 28th will be where their next regular scheduled meeting, and preceded by a special meeting about the budget on the 28th. So that's kind of the month ahead for the city of Palmer while we switch over now to the borough. And, you know, Mike, I don't normally go to everyone, and we don't broadcast them, which might be something we want to think about here. This Joint Assembly and Planning Commission, I was able to go to, and I'm really glad I did, because there were some really interesting topics on the agenda, and it was well attended both by the borough and by the Planning Commission. There was only no borough assembly members were absent, nor were there was one planning commissioner, newly appointed planning commissioner, that was not there, but it was everybody was alert and in their chairs, and it was the first meeting for Ted Leonard, who was newly elected from the Wasilla District, taking over for termed out assembly member Steve Culligan. So he was there for his very first meeting. And Dan Mayfield finally got the results of his the election, which was they did a recount of prior that the week before and that week, and he was sworn in. There was only changed the election by one vote, which is pretty common
and it actually increased his numbers over his the contender. Did that happen or not?
I don't know. I think he lost one vote. There was one vote that he lost. It was they did start out the agenda by having the canvas board there to give their report. They talked about a couple of the only things they really found in the canvas report, that there were two ballots that were jammed through the AccuVote machine, and two signatures that were highlighted did not vote. But it only, by the end of the day, it only changed the results from 18 votes to 17 votes that Mr. Mayfield won over Mr. Tews. So he, it was a pretty quick thing. They swore Mr. Mayfield in. They had cake off to the side for people that wanted to do him, but they didn't even take a break really to do that. So they swore him in, took a few pictures, and he said a few words, and off it was. They only had one person talking about public comment, and it was Helen Munoz, who we talk about, who talks to the assembly quite often, every chance she gets, still talking pretty much about the same things having to do with the problem of the wastewater treatment plant that is in process but not built. And so here with the joint, the information, they did start off by introducing a whole bunch of new planners. They've had a lot of attrition at the borough, and they wanted to introduce a couple of, two employees retired. They had four planner seats open, and so they introduced a new young woman who is going to take over as their environmental planner for someone who retired. Also somebody who is going to do a general use planner on the Brownsfield projects and that sort of thing. And a guy who is going to be doing some general planning and also worked in our water modernizing program as a volunteer and was an ex-science teacher, which is kind of nice to have at the table. And they also have hired a transportation planner. So they're getting finally fully staffed after kind of struggling there to get everybody on board.
Okay.
They also acknowledge that they've had some fruitful meetings with the planning board and that some updates are coming forward on the newest the subdivision code that has been struggled with since it was revised a few years ago, and looking at a zoning code at some proposals, and they may outsource that final document to get it to the assembly because it certainly has been in request. So then they started out with a really, really interesting presentation from Mayor Carl Castle, who is the mayor from the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And he was pretty familiar with people at the table. He made note of the fact that he doesn't sit in the middle at the Fairbanks assembly meetings. He sits off to the side. He does know Mayor Vern Halter, who is our mayor, and also knows Dr. Doty quite well. But he talked about air quality, and I think people are pretty aware of the struggles that the city of Fairbanks has had with trying to get in compliance to EPA rules concerning air quality. We're having our own struggles right now in the Butte. Fairbanks has been in a non-attainment district and in violation of EPA rules for some, and what it turns out to be, this started back in the 80s for them.
Oh,
who knew?
Okay.
But for us, we're still outside that realm, but getting dangerously close, and by all accounts, we too will join the city of Fairbanks and be in that non-attainment district, and our journey could just begun. So learning the lessons that they have to teach us was really interesting. He said in the 80s, their problem came from the exhaust from automobiles, and what they did was wait and make the problem worse. He said it took 30 years to get through the mess. Then they got right out of that mess and went straight into their wood-burning problems. Which is what they're experiencing now. He said they got a lot of people up there telling they were just trying to keep people employed, but they were out of compliance as soon as they got out of their problems with the cars. And he said, again, it was just stonewalled. He said the city band wanted to ban them for a while. There were tons of he gave a very good timeline that showed from the time they were in violation up to now what's happened, intertwined with a lot of voter initiatives, rolling back anything that the borough would try to do. They ended up getting millions of dollars in a grant from the DEC to try to rectify their problems. And every time they'd make a couple inches on it, the voters would turn it back. Because people wanted the right to burn what would, apparently. But he went into some really interesting stuff, Mike, about it'd be good to call and maybe do a, he seems like he's very forthcoming, maybe do an interview over the phone with him.
Okay, good recommendation.
And have him do that. Yeah, he talks about what they did. He said their biggest flaw was they didn't get tough enough soon enough. And so now they have a lot of regulations in play. They pay people to change out their stoves, although there are a lot of caveats with that. They have to go to a certified stove dealer. They have to take a class. If you want to build a new construction in that area that is wood-fired, with a wood-fired burning mechanism, in order to do that, you have to pay a $350 fee, and you have to go to classes, and you have to have a certified installer and a certified stove, and they are finally getting to the point where they have to do things like that. So lessons learned from other communities, we do not often do that, Mike. And so to hear the mayor of Fairbanks, who's been with this problem for 30 years, so eloquently put it in front of people, I think it had some force on the assembly. And finally, because it's not like the borough staff has not been trying to talk to them about this for literally years through a couple of different assemblies that this was coming down the pike,
right?
Trying to have them take some action, and nothing has been done. I recall a few years ago, Mike, when Representative or Assemblymember Keough, who is now Jim Sykes, has taken that seat, tried to introduce just $25,000 in the budget to do some education on wood burning in the Butte, and it was thrown off the table. So we are where we are right now, so it would be good for them to heed, it would seem, Mayor Castle's recommendation. So really, really, really interesting, worthwhile. And again, I think it would be worth calling and interviewing him, and I bet he would do it for
okay.
us, Mike.
I have a question, the bottom line question about the Fairbanks area. They obviously had some problems. They've instituted a variety of things. What did he speak to the quality of the air in Fairbanks as a result of doing all of this at the present time?
Well, yeah, interestingly, Fairbanks has sort of the same problem we have here. Palmer doesn't. Our problem is in the Butte, even though we consider that the Palmer area. Their area in the borough is outside of the city of the Fairbanks.
Okay.
So they all get kind of pulled into that problem. Fairbanks has been fine and in compliance, that area of Fairbanks, but because the other area is not in compliance, it still pulls them down. But it sounds like they're making great strides, and they feel like they're digging themselves out. I think he said they would be pretty close to being able to get out. They're close now, but still not totally there yet.
Okay.
But they have literally spent millions of dollars trying to dig themselves out of this non-compliance. And, you know, he basically said, you know, you can wait for the administrative process to change with the federal laws, but those take a long time to do it. Meanwhile, once you get in this trap, you're there. So really, really interesting.
Any comments by the assembly here and or the planning commission regarding his presentation?
Not the planning commission. Both Mr. Sykes and Mr. Mayfield had questions in regarding to, you know, how much they spent of their own money to do replacement, stove replacement, and he talked about that, and that's when he spoke about the grants they were able to get from DEC. He talked about how they got, talked a little bit about how they got community buy-in, how many staff they have. They now have 7 people on staff now, and they don't really have enough that they need up there that actually to enforce this. Can you imagine, Mike? I think we have 2 or 3 people, maybe three in enforcement in the whole borough here.
Wow.
And they have
yeah.
7 now just for this. So a lot of costs there. But Mayfield had asked him what the cost of staff and hours were and all of that, and he didn't really have that information in front of him, but you could tell it was lots and lots of administrative dollars that have gone off to trying to cure this problem. So
sounds like a great presentation. Did they do anything else on Tuesday?
They did. They had a marijuana update.
Cool.
It had a nice update for that, just giving them, letting them know that they're few things that are coming up. Industrial hemp, there's a Senate bill right now that's floating around that probably will be taken up in January when they go back into regular session. There's some talk about on-site consumption and regulation of how they have it in bars. That's a hot topic right now. The marijuana board is considering taking comment on that to the end of the month. In fact, they've already ruled against it twice, but it's back for the third time. So they're taking public comment once again. And one planning commission member spoke about not in that so much as the fact of the effects in small neighborhoods and the effects of secondhand smoke in small neighborhoods, because a lot of these retail establishments are in residential areas, and she has some concerns about that. So he just talked about that, about the 100-foot setback, Mike. We've talked about that. They've talked about that. That's still a lingering problem they want to figure out. Outdoor grows are getting difficult to control. He also had a good sheet that told about what the revenues are that we've been enjoying right now. He talked about the cost of marijuana. They reportedly to him, it's about twice as much on the street as it is regulated, but they've seen in other areas now that changes as more people get into the legal cultivation of it. They expect that to go down. He also had a nice chart about how many permitted facilities there are. Oddly, there's only one testing facility in the entire borough, which surprised me.
Where's that located?
Doesn't say where. They don't say where it's located, but there is only one in the borough. And just talked about the growing revenues. They don't have all the data in yet because they still have till the end of the month to make that happen. But it's they're making money off of marijuana even now. And there's they know it's, I think they have gotten the message, it's a business that's going to make them some money. So not a lot of questions with that. There was only one audience member there. It was more of an informational type thing.
Okay.
And then the last couple of things, they talked a little bit about driveway, that new technology. They're using LIDAR and iPads and everything to get around. They've got a backlog of 5,700 applications for driveway permits.
Whoa.
And that they hope to, with this new Wowie Zowie way of doing it and getting rid of paper and doing it on, you'll be able to get a driveway permit online, all permits online. So they talked a lot about that. And lastly, Mike, they talked about the census update that's coming up and how they're going to, they're looking at community council areas and how that's going to fit with the new census. That's something that Barbara Doty's been very keen on, because she realizes in her area that she covers, not everybody is included in the community council. And she was eager to find out, once they get all this and figure out where the community council should be, how they're going to educate not only people that aren't in a community council that they are now in one, but the ones that are in them, how they know to start, you know, active in the benefits of a community council in their area. So pretty interesting meeting. It got over to about 8:30, Mike. Not a lot of comments at the very end. They all thought it was a really good presentation. There was one comment from a commissioner that talked about the CUP project or process and how that is handled when it comes back to them. And and then again, one councilman talked about the potential about on-site consumption in retail stores that are in neighborhoods and what that might mean. So,
How about Mr. Leonard? Did he make any comments?
He didn't really. He was glad to be there. He did make a comment saying that he was glad that he had figured out how to get email and admitted that he wasn't very techie. So,
I'm sure he'll do fine. Yeah.
He'll do fine. Right.
Okay. Well, that was a pretty comprehensive
meeting.
Yes, very, very nice. And we'll have to take up in Valley Edition a review of what may be happening down in Juneau as they struggle with a couple of pretty significant tasks.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. They really are, Mike.
Okay. Well, thank you, Citizen.
Be careful out there today.
You too.
Hold your hats on.
All right. Take care now.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This program is made possible in part by KVRF members and the generous support of Palmer businesses. REM Data Services, helping promote and sustain public awareness, education, and involvement through community radio.